Coming up on this episode of The Social Hour, TweetDeck is lightening up. Facebook and eBay are both going Pinterest. Ugh. Social tips for speakers and syncing your social media to your credit card might not actually be the worst idea in the world. All of that and Boo the Dog.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Audio bandwidth provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Bandwidth for The Social Hour is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of The Social Hour is brought to you by Social Media Solutions from SAP. If you're a social media manager at a large enterprise, gain insight and engage in social media in a systematic way with Social Media Solutions from SAP. Learn more at sap.com/twit. And by the new Squarespace. Squarespace introduces a new content management system, making it faster and easier to create a high-quality website, blog, or online portfolio. Plus more than 50 new features, including mobile responsive designs. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code SOCIALHOUR10. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of The Social Hour. It's episode 81, and from Twit World headquarters in gloomy Petaluma, California, I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Amber MacArthur from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and it's not gloomy. It's just plain old dark, Sarah. So it is getting cold. I mentioned this last week, I think, and there is a chill in the air. It's a little bit colder than it normally would be this time of year, so not quite prepared for that. However, just got to get used to it, I suppose. And I don't know. It's going to take me some time.
Yeah, I'm with you. This is the time of year. We were talking about this earlier in the day because Tom Merritt goes, gosh, you know, it rained last night at my house. Anybody else? I'm like, yeah, it rained. But we get so used to, in the Bay Area, it just not raining. You know, it doesn't rain in the summer. That would be very unusual. We haven't seen rain around here since April, and you kind of forget about it. So now I'm like, gosh, you know, the tire guys told me to get 2 new front tires before it started raining. I guess I got to do that now. You know, it's just that winter stuff. We can't keep it at bay.
I remember living there and being a little bit in shock on the highways when it would rain just a little tiny bit. And
everyone
it was quite
crazy.
Dramatic.
Yes, yeah. It's like, just stop driving.
I would hate to see snow.
Yeah, well, we could talk about rain all day. I think it's going to rain this weekend, which is fine with me because it just makes it easier for me to not go outside, rent another movie, make some more cookies. Oh,
all good. I'm coming to your house, Sarah. That sounds perfect.
You have to. When you come visit, you got to come over. We'll make some cookies and we'll watch some movies.
Sounds great.
So we have got cornucopia of social stories this week. Let's start off with Facebook. Hey, let's just get Facebook out of the way because we actually have a lot more companies to cover this week. A new Facebook feature. You thought that they had thought of them all. Facebook is now rolling out something called Facebook Collections. They're just testing it right now, so it's not exactly live, certainly not for me. It is a feature that many people have said, this is like Pinterest, because if you like a page, for example, in the TechCrunch article that I read about this, if you like a Pottery Barn page, for example, so I can actually go through the motions of doing this. I go ahead and say, okay, I like the Pottery Barn page, and now since I like it, I will visit this link to the collection. Okie dokie. And now, ooh, I see. All right. Well, I kind of like this deer pillow, so I'll go ahead and say collect.
Mm-hmm.
And now what happens? Add things to a list of products that you like so you can share them with your friends and find them on your timeline later. Or I can add to a wish list. So this is kind of Pinterest-y. I see now what people are saying. I can say it's either in my fashion wish list, it's definitely for the home, or if it was neither of those things, I could just add a new collection and call it whatever I wanted. But I could say for the home, sure. And then I assume that if I save it, Now there's going to be something on my wall that says, well, it says that I just liked Pottery Barn. Oh, Sarah collected Pottery Barn's antler outdoor pillow for the home.
Oh, I guess this would be good during the holidays, Sarah, when you want to hint towards some of the gifts that you want.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yes. Here's what's interesting, Amber, is now I'm not sure if it has anything to do with my overall privacy settings, but that is in my recent activity on my wall. But if you want to go full screen, Alex, you can probably see this a little bit better. It's only seen by me by default. So it's not public.
That's interesting.
It's not even friends. It's just me by default. Hmm. Now, I kind of like that because I just try not to overdo it when I'm sharing things with people. But I wonder, I guess that's great for just my own stuff. But how much is that really helping Facebook?
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is all part of their strategy to try to figure out a better way to be able to monetize this site and get people interacting with different items and talking about what they want, eventually buying some of those things as well. I don't know. I wish I didn't feel this way because I think every time we talk about Facebook, especially over the past few months, I sort of get a little bit down, Sarah. I don't know why, but I feel like I want them to stop adding things. I feel like there's just so much happening already that it just seems like every week they're rolling out something new and I just want them to stop for a while. Although I get that they have to figure out a way to be able to be profitable and be able to capture the audience that they have and get those people buying things, I just sometimes think it's a little bit too much. Although I think this makes sense, but you're right. It's very Pinterest-esque in some ways. And we've talked about it a lot in the show. We're seeing that more and more with lots of different companies who are sort of boring ideas, realizing how popular Pinterest has been.
Yeah, I know a lot of folks who have told me that they sort of feel the same way that you and I do, Amber, about Pinterest is, I mean, it's great. I don't feel like I have the time or really the inclination to spend a whole lot of time curating a really cool Pinterest page, Pinterest wall. So I like the idea of being able to, I don't know, grab a little stuff here or there. Hmm. But I'm with you. Facebook is not the place that I'm doing this. It's not the place that I want to hint about the kind of gifts I want to friends. I don't know. It's almost like the whole buying and selling part of it, even when it comes to me being able to sell or buy you a physical gift from within Facebook that then, you know, you get delivered to your door. All of that does seem just beyond the real message of what Facebook means to me anyway. And yeah, it kind of gunks everything up. It's like you're just doing too much. And I mean, I understand that Facebook is huge, and so they're trying to appeal of all sorts of needs and wants and interests of their billion users. They're doing too much. It's all diluted, and they're not going to do anything well anymore.
That's the problem, right? You know, I think we're all waiting for that Facebook announcement that is a big announcement. And, you know, if you look at a company like Apple, you know, every time Apple comes out with a new device, and albeit it's more difficult, obviously, to create hardware than it is to create something like this on Facebook. But, you know, Apple would wait some time before launching something new, and it would be fabulous. And I think you're right. I think in some ways, they're almost diluting their brand a little bit in the sense that you just almost want to yawn every time you hear about Facebook, even if you use it on a regular basis. I mean, I check Facebook every single day. I use it. I suggest it to clients. I understand that it's part of our lives, but it seems as though every week when they're announcing something new, I mean, it's just too much. Why don't they just go away for a few months, build something awesome? Obviously, they have the team to do it, and then come back and unveil that. Hopefully, it has something to do with mobile, and I don't think this is that awesome thing.
Yeah, I think this is sort of a Me Too type of a thing. That's what it sounds like. Speaking of Pinterest, eBay has announced a site redesign, which I think is wonderful news indeed. I mean, I've got no issue with eBay at all, but I have felt like their experience, their online experience, seemed very Web 1.0. So they've got a site redesign plus a new Pinterest-like discovery feed. Hey, everybody's doing it now. Plus the debut of eBay Now in San Francisco with New York coming soon. You might recall, we talked about this. I think we talked about this in the social hour. I certainly talked about it with somebody. eBay Now was being beta tested in San Francisco, which was sort of if you want a product within the day, same day shipping kind of a thing. You could buy it and then a courier would bring it to, you know, whatever address you told them to bring it to you within a certain amount of time, a couple of hours, that sort of thing. So it looks like eBay Now in San Francisco was enough of a test to be successful to roll it out, and New York entering the testing phase. But let's talk about this site redesign. I went ahead and, by the way, the new personalized feed is rolling out over, I think it's like the next couple of months, but you can go ahead and activate it right now. If you go to, I think it's ebay.com/feed or something like that. So I went ahead and said, all right, well, let's get going with my feed. And it says, it's your feed. Get first dibs on what you want. Here are some things we think you might be interested in following to get started. Okay, turntable record player. Yeah, okay, I'll go ahead and follow that. That's kind of cool. German musical Steins? No, I'm not interested in getting those. I must have looked at that at some point. Messenger bags? All right. Movie posters? That's definitely something I look at eBay for, because I've got my eye on a couple of vintage things. Game of Thrones stuff? Yeah, okay. And let's see. I've got to add one more interest to unlock this feed. Bike basket. Gosh, I look for weird stuff, don't I? yeah, let's go Bluetooth speakers. Why not? Save and unlock my eBay feed. Let's do it. All right. So, well, it doesn't look totally unlike eBay. This is Pinteresty, though. Okay, I see what's going on here. So we've got a big kind of crazy ad up here at the top for Toys R Us. That's a little obnoxious. I guess this is just an ad area. Okay, so we've got that. We've got some navigation over on the left-hand side of all the, you know, the eBay stuff that I know and love. And then we've got my Pinterest-like, very, very Pinterest-like feed based on what I told eBay I wanted to follow. Here are recent searches. I recently, well, it wasn't that recent now, earlier this year, went through a big Bowers & Wilkins freak out because I was buying a new home entertainment system, and I wanted to see if I could get the speakers for cheap, which I could not. But I did look on eBay for them. And here's all my stuff. So I said handbags. I said Game of Thrones. I said Bluetooth stuff. I said messenger bag. And it's a little overwhelming, but this is definitely different than the eBay I've used before. And I think a little refreshing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it looks great. I think it's a good move for them. And although it is definitely a little bit Pinteresty, but I don't think that's a bad thing. Obviously, Pinterest has figured out a good way to be able to allow people to search for things using really great visual imagery. And just the layout is wonderful. So, you know, we haven't heard a lot about eBay as far as redesigning the service as of late. So I think it seems like it's a good move in the right direction. Because I think you're right. Their service has been, at least on the design front, looking pretty stale over the past couple of years. Like, it hasn't really evolved in the past decade that much. So it seems like it's a good, bold new move. And Sarah, it looks like we have another new redesign. Everybody's redesigning their services. What's happening?
Yeah, so this is TweetDeck. And this is coming straight from the bird's mouth. TweetDeck is now owned by Twitter, of course. But they do have their own blog. And this is where the news came out that TweetDeck has a whole new look. This is a new TweetDeck app for all the supported platforms. So that means TweetDeck on the web, Chrome, Mac, and Windows. And it went live, I don't know, I guess it was 2 days ago? I guess it was yesterday, actually. We had so many things launched this week, but I think it was yesterday. They say if you're using the Windows app, you just need to restart, and then it'll auto-update. But what's cool is that, and this is one of the problems that I had with TweetDeck, Amber, from the beginning, and it was a small thing, but I didn't like how it was the night theme, how it had a dark background. Just kind of, I wanted the option not to have that because I'm just not a fan of dark background with light text. It's just too jarring for me. So we finally get that. The dark background is still there. TweetDeck says it's a little cleaner. It looks better. But then there's also a lighter theme. So right away, I'm like, oh, good. I could actually use TweetDeck because I just never really paid much attention to it before because there's kind of that deal breaker. You can change your font. So it's a lot of cosmetic improvements. But then there's also specific improvements, better navigation, new profile designs, deeper discovery and engagement. They say what they mean by that is you can gain more insight via interactions and activity columns. So, you know, for all the, grumbling that we that we've done about Twitter as of late, saying, well, you know, Twitter's not, you know, they're not being friendly to their third-party apps, and they're not really innovating on some of their own products, and in some cases, their products are getting worse. A lot of loyal TweetDeck fans, once Twitter bought TweetDeck, said, they made TweetDeck worse. So they, not only did they not improve upon it, but they took away certain features, and it's like, what's the deal? So, I mean, I guess this is a step in the right direction. I mean, at least we know that Twitter is not just buying services so that they don't compete with them.
Yeah, no, I think those improvements are great. I totally agree on the dark background, just having a better experience for that and being able to just tweak it a little bit. I think they also have more competition because there just are more dashboards out there, more options as far as following your Twitter stream. Mm-hmm. So again, they have to keep improving the service because they have so many diehard users. But like I said, there's always new social media dashboards to manage what's going on Twitter that are popping up all over the place. So that's something I think they're kind of forced to change. Now, Sarah, we've talked a lot on the show about different companies who've come out with new apps. They're redesigning their apps, but this is kind of a new twist on that. I think we have mentioned the service before, Branch Out, which is like a LinkedIn competitor, a place for you to share your professional accomplishments. Now, I had no idea that the app was this successful. I've never used it. According to this article that's on All Things D that you found, the app reached 25 million registered users earlier this year, and looks like about 30 million users and or 3.4 million use the app on a monthly basis. So a bit of a surprise for me. I guess the good news for people who haven't used the app or want a web option is they will now be having a Branch Out site that people are able to visit online and they can interact that way.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm actually kind of into this, Amber. Branch Out has been something that I've actually been ignoring on Facebook. And I think some of their, rocketing to as many users as they got in a short amount of time had to do with the fact that I kept getting these Branch Out invitations from people on Facebook. And they were not from, you know, this is not like Mafia Wars play with me or kind of spammy stuff. I felt like, oh, these are people who are, they're looking to, you know, sort of fill in more of a, let's network as far as our jobs go on Facebook. And I don't have a problem with that, but I really try to limit the kinds of apps that I'm using, the third-party apps on Facebook. And I don't know, I just started to feel like I didn't want to see these Branch Out invitations anymore. What's great about this, though, is that Branch Out now, as a standalone app, which is at branchout.com, and it's live, anybody could use it, all I did was I connected it to Facebook, which Branch Out was already connected to Facebook. I don't think I had removed it yet. But now, this is much more of a kind of a LinkedIn competitor, but it's sort of its own experience. So it's not, again, within that Facebook experience, Amber, that you and I both feel like sometimes it's just a little bit too much. I don't necessarily want to do some of my hardcore networking within Facebook, but Branch Out can take a lot of that information and make it relevant. The problem is that as I'm looking through this, okay, my friend Garrett is in a picture with some people. That's not really all that relevant to what I'm doing career-wise. Philip has exceptional business insights. The kind of leader... Oh, okay, so this is Philip Nelson received an endorsement. Liz Gaines was in a meeting. So maybe meeting is some sort of a keyword that Branch Out is flagging. My friend Molly updated a position at her place of work. So, I mean, at a glance, I like the idea of taking the networking piece of Facebook and giving us its own little feed. How do you feel about this?
I don't know. I mean, I think the only thing I would say is that I feel as though as much as perhaps they think they're different than LinkedIn, there are some similarities to LinkedIn. And I don't think that LinkedIn is necessarily a service right now that I would want to compete with. I think they're just growing, getting so much stronger over time. And so I think as more and more people flock to LinkedIn, I would worry a little bit about Branch Out, that it isn't different enough that it compels people to join. I mean, I have friends still who, you know, at least every week they tell me that they're starting to use LinkedIn more and really starting to take advantage of some of the features on LinkedIn. So to all of a sudden expect them to go to Branch Out, I think that might be a lot to ask. I think people in some ways are kind of overwhelmed with all of these different choices, and at least from what I've seen, you know, it seems like, at least on the app front, you know, people want apps that do one thing, really one simple thing, and they do it well. I think that's why Instagram is so popular with Branch Out. I think they may have a hard run ahead of them with LinkedIn being so strong.
I do,
but
like,
that's being pessimistic.
I do like that Branch Out asks me. Ooh, I just messed it up. Oh, okay. What's happening at work? Which is, you know, it's kind of like, it's very Twitter-like. I mean, that's easy.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I know how this works. Live on the social hour with Amber. Is this going to work, Mac? Well, because it's not pulling from Twitter, right? Well, let's just see what happens.
Oh, yeah.
Cute. Okay. I wonder if it'll go back to Facebook now. I guess I could check. Let's see. Considering that Facebook and Branch, I don't know. Let's find out.
Did it go to your Facebook account?
No, it didn't. It didn't. I've probably revoked Branch Out access because I don't know. I'm selective. This is fine. I think that this is the next logical step for any service that has had a lot of success on Facebook and has gained a lot of users who wants to have a viable business if for whatever reason that relationship with Facebook changes. You know what I mean? It's kind of like Zynga, which has had a very rocky year. But Zynga has been doing the same thing where it's like Zynga does not want to be beholden to Facebook working well with it, you know, in order to have users. It's like Zynga wants to have its own presence on the web. So I think that it looks like Branch Out is trying the same tactic. And I think that's smart.
Yeah, I think it makes sense, obviously, to have a web version of it and not be dependent on people using the app. But obviously, if they've had so much success with the app, I'm just missing something because I don't think I've met anyone who uses it. But clearly, based on the stats that they've revealed, there are lots of people who love it. So I'm going to have to give it a try before I give it a more thorough review. Speaking of trying things, Sarah, I don't know if you have tried this new service. What I could tell, it's not necessarily open up to the public. It's called Vine, a video clip company. We've talked about a few services like this before, according to this article, Twitter has bought Vine. Not sure what they're going to do with it just yet. It's a small company based in New York, only 3 people. And I think it's pretty straightforward. You shoot quick video clips and you can share them. And that's pretty much all I know from this post.
Yeah, so Vine, I actually am familiar with it because MG, his fund, invested in Vine. So I've actually been able to see a little bit about how Vine works from him because he had Vine running on his iPhone. In fact, I can show you a sample video. This is actually one of Vine's co-founders. Took some videos at, obviously, a Giants game recently. And this is just, it looks like he took 3 little videos and they're just looping. This is like a permalink that this video is going to. Okay, I'm going to stop.
Yeah, I clicked on it. I was wondering with the looping, is that just part of the service?
Yeah, the looping is, I think it's just to keep it dynamic. I don't know.
Okay.
It's, I don't think it's really supposed to mean much. The idea is that you take short videos that are part of a series. So, for example, you know, if I had Vine running right now, you know, I might take a video of you talking and maybe take a video of myself, maybe the chat room, some of the lights. And collectively, it's sort of like, ooh, it's this living, breathing photo collage kind of thing. But they're short videos. Now, I think that they probably max out at, you know, I don't know, 5 seconds each or something. But the idea is to kind of have this choppy thing that collectively is much more interesting than a single video. And we've covered some of these short video sharing services in the past, and it's like I find them really hard to get into because video is so much more of a commitment than just scrolling past photos. It's just a whole different thing. It shouldn't be that different, but it really is.
I can't tell from a
thumbnail what it's going to be.
And there's a quality issue, right, Sarah? I mean, a lot of people, I mean, not everyone, but most people know how to write, not well, but they can write, you know, 140 characters is not that daunting of a task. So I think most people can craft something that's kind of clever, interesting when they're using text on Twitter. But the problem with video, I think, is so many people, you know, whether they're out there shooting, you know, vertical videos, and we've had a video about that before, or they are shooting video where the lighting's bad and it's unsteady. I mean, I think that's a bigger problem. So maybe it's something that people are going to be able to get better at understanding how to shoot video in a more, I don't want to say professional, but in a manner that would be more appealing for viewers to watch, because otherwise, you know, 90% of the stuff just isn't great.
Yeah, and I wonder what Twitter, what is Twitter doing with this, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, how is this going to be part of the Twitter experience? I know that I don't want to see these short little videos from most of the people on my Twitter feed. And that's the problem with services that are, you know, that if Twitter buys Vine, and by the way, the All Things D article does say this might be a standalone service, not unlike Facebook buying Instagram. Instagram is still its own autonomous company, at least for now. And if that's the case, then maybe it doesn't really matter that Twitter owns Vine, at least for a while. But you figure they're not interested in a company like this for no reason. You know, it might be an acqui-hire situation where they're more interested in the team than they are in the product. But if it stays as a standalone service for a while, that's probably not the case. I don't know. I mean, it could be interesting to see if Twitter would try to encourage us to really get the hang of these short form videos as a collection, you know, to go along with short form updates that we're already getting really used to now these days.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like if I were running a company like this, I think one of the first things I would do is I would get, you know, a team of a dozen people on board, at least people who were using the service, and I would get them to produce some content that was really interesting and inspired other people to go out there and create good video content. Because, again, I just have to go back to the fact that most videos I see people shooting on their smartphones, I can't even watch them. Maybe I have high expectations because, like you, Sarah, have worked in a professional television industry for a while, but I still think it's difficult to for something like that to maintain your attention. So I think there needs to be a little bit of work there, but it could be done. A company has to figure out how to encourage people to post content that's interesting, what type of content to post. They have to kind of reframe it for people, I think, and change their minds and inspire them to do something different that we're not used to doing. I mean, the idea of being able to quickly shoot video is a fairly new thing and needs a lot of work.
Agreed. All right, moving on to our last big story of the day. This is the whole Google buying Zagat and sort of forcing Zagat scores upon all of us when you search for a business, restaurant, a service type of a thing in Google that Zagat has written up before. I've gotten actually pretty used to it, Amber. You know, if I look for example, Emmy's Spaghetti Shack in Google, and I don't go straight to their website, over here on the right-hand side, Google says, oh, I mean, Spaghetti Shack, yeah. It has a Zagat rating of 20 for food, 18 for decor, 18 for service, and we've got 291 Google reviews that are related to this if you want to know more. Plus, you know, map and information about Emmy Spaghetti Shack. It's a really good place, by the way. If you're ever in San Francisco and you want some good spaghetti, it's a great place to go. But the idea now is that and this was written up at searchengineland.com because they're, you know, they're very dialed into things that change in the world of search engines, is that they mention Megan Stevenson, who works over at Google, said review authors, so people like me who would like to contribute a review to Emmy Spaghetti Shack using Google reviews, no longer have to use the Zagat scoring system. Instead, I can say something like food, excellent. service, very good, you know, that sort of stuff, to describe the business. The reason for that is because nobody really understood Zagat ratings. I mean, you figure the better the number, the better it is overall. But you see some arbitrary numbers, and it's like, well, what's our scale? And is it 20 out of 20?
Yeah, it's too much work, right?
Is it 20 out of 50? And I think that they're trying to they're realizing that the Zagat experience works really well if you understand how the booklet, because of course it used to be a booklet before it was online and before Google bought Zagat. If you understand that, great, but a lot of people just didn't understand these numerical scores.
Yeah, no, it seems like it's much more simplified. Sarah, I know that we are going to go to an ad pretty soon, but I wanted to mention, I'm just watching the Twitter stream in terms of people interacting, and someone named Baker has suggested that we interact more with some of the fans watching while we're doing the show, so I thought I would do a big shout out to him. So thanks for watching.
Thanks, Baker. Good to have you along. Yeah, I know. You guys, you talk to us more on Twitter while we're live, and then we'll talk back.
It's the multitasking thing, right? So we're trying to do articles. Sarah's also in the chat room. It's a lot of stuff, but I totally agree. What would be even more helpful though, Sarah, and I'm sure you'd agree, if people were asking questions or had comments while we're chatting too, just so we can incorporate that content into the show.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get to some of the viewer feedback that we did get over the last week, as much as we can anyway, a little bit later in the show. But as Amber mentioned, let's take this moment to thank SAP, specifically Social Media Solutions from SAP, for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour. And they're a perfect sponsor for us. They're a perfect sponsor for a lot of the folks that watch the show, because they help large enterprises listen to all of the stuff that either users or potential users are saying about them on social media. But not just that, also engaging. So, you know, being helpful online, helping solve problems, that sort of thing. Social Media Solutions has two components. The first one is the listening component. Obviously, it's very important that if people are talking about your business online, you've got to have a good way to be able to capture that information and then figure out what you want to do with it. So it's not only capturing reports about people having conversations. If Amber and I are talking about a particular business and Amber's got this really great recommendation for me, you know, all that stuff is important, but it's also really important if it's a negative experience too. You know, that's the kind of stuff that you need to be gathering. You know, do your customers really dislike something, this new feature that you thought that they were really going to like? Why do they dislike it? That's the kind of stuff that you want to have your finger on the pulse of. Helps you build better products because you can incorporate real-time customer feedback into what you're building. You know, that new feature sucks. All right, well, what, you know, let's see in real time what's upsetting people so we can tweak it a little bit, make it better. Also helps you identify customers who are ready to buy. You know those customers. I'm frequently that sort of customer. And those are because there's lots of buy-in signals that people send via social media. It's like the social media body language, you know. There are certain cues where you know this is the sort of thing that you want to be paying a little bit more attention to. The best part of it, something called natural language processing. This is how a tweet like, "I'm so hungry," is different than "I'm never so hungry." You know, it's that sort of stuff that's just natural language. And, you know, if you depend on robots, they don't always know the difference between those two things. Of course, the engaging component, that's really the important part, right? This is where you help improve customer service by allowing your business to set rules about who gets what message. You know, I might not be the tech support person, but I know who to send that to using SAP. If somebody tweets a question for the social media manager, maybe you have four people on the team. You know, maybe you've got to split the duties. Maybe your enterprise is simply too much for one person. There's all sorts of different scenarios. Social Media Solutions tries to address all of those. From SAP, gives you accurate, real-time understanding of your brand's social media performance. I know we have a lot of brand managers who follow along with the Social Hour, so hopefully this is something that you've looked at. If you haven't, sap.com/twit. That's all you need to know, sap.com/twit, to learn more about social media solutions. And we thank SAP for sponsoring this episode of the Social Hour. All right, Amber.
Right.
This next story is, I don't know, I'm a little scared.
It is a little scary. And I have to apologize if I'm distracted. I feel like there's kind of smoke in my little studio right now, but I think I've been staring at the light for too long. So hopefully it's okay.
If it gets worse, we will wait for you to exit the building safely.
I've had the light on for a long time. You know how hot some of these lights can get.
Yes,
nonetheless, if I jump up and run, I will be right back, or perhaps not, but hopefully things are okay. All right. So I'm sure you've seen this before. There have been apps on Facebook, also on Twitter, saying that if you install the app, if you use it, you'll be able to see who's viewed your profile. I know a lot of people have been lured by some of these different applications out there. Of course, they turn out to be spam applications, and it looks like the same thing has recently hit Tumblr. So just a warning for people out there, if you're a Tumblr user, you want to be careful And make sure that you don't access this app, that you don't install it. Basically, what happens with this particular app is then once you have installed it, it will send out spam instead of obviously giving you access to who's viewed your account. So just like the others work, this one is similar. And unfortunately, like I said, has hit Tumblr. And it looks like it's very difficult to fix things on Tumblr once this has happened to you.
Profile stalker without an E at the end. Well, there is one E in profile, but not the E in stalker. Yeah, no good. No good at all. And quite frankly, I'm surprised it took as long as it did. I don't even want to click on any of these because it's just like, this stuff is so gross. But yeah, if you're a heavy Tumblr user, definitely have your wits about you when it comes to
there's
stalker
no
app that's going to do stuff that you don't want it to.
Don't be tempted. I mean, if you really want to get access to people who have viewed your profile, the only social network I know where you can do that is LinkedIn. And that still surprises me that you can do that on a regular basis. So you can do it there if that seems tempting to you.
You have to pay for that, right? So,
well, you know what? I don't know about that because I think Chris was telling me that he had a limited view of who's viewed his profile with a free account. So I think that if you pay for it, yes, you get sort of a full version of everybody that's viewed. But I think they tease you with a little bit of information here and there. But yeah, you do need to pay for it. You can also pay on LinkedIn if you want the ability to view / stalk other people's accounts and you don't want to be seen. So that can be part of a service that you get too. So LinkedIn is the only place I know that lets you do that, which is so surprising, I find, out of all places that they do. But yeah. I kind of like it in a weird way.
Well, I mean, you figure it's like, hey, we're all professionals here. It doesn't have to be too stalky. But that's, you know, people are connected for so many reasons now. It's it's just not always so cut and dry, I don't think. Amber, I know that this is not in our rundown, but since we were already on the Daily Dot story about Profile Stalker not being an app that you want to use, I just happened to see a picture of Boo the dog, but it's attached to another article that is headlined Boo, Internet's Most Lovable Dog or Elaborate Facebook Scam. And I, you know, quickly was like, what do you mean Facebook scam? There is no such thing. And I think that this is, I see. People are having a problem that Facebook's owner, whose identity is not public at this time, works at Facebook. And wait a second, I guess people do know her name, but I know that she doesn't want people to talk about her, so I'm not going to say it here, that somehow, you know, this might have, I don't know, what's a scam about it? She works at Facebook. I mean, people don't have to like the dog, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't really know a lot about it. I'm kind of perplexed right now, Sarah.
Oh, are you not familiar with Boo the dog, Amber?
No.
Amber.
So I kind of feel like you just went off on some weird tangent.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm sorry. We're just going to, everyone just bear with me for just a second because we're going to go to facebook.com/boo so that Amber can see the internet's most popular dog. Boo has 5.4 million likes on Facebook. I can't believe you just sat there like, I don't know what she's talking about. It's really weird.
Is Sarah okay?
He's a Pomeranian who's got a really cute little haircut. That's him and his friend, Buddy. And he takes a lot of pictures, you know, doing doggy stuff. And he's got a line of his own, Boo Stuffed Animals. He's been on the Today Show. He's very popular, Amber. I just don't even know how you've escaped Boo this whole time.
Yeah, so I don't know, Sarah.
I think we're dealing with Boo haters, people who say, I cry foul. His mom works at Facebook. I mean, Facebook doesn't just create cute pictures. Boo is part of this.
Yeah, but who cares if his? Yeah, I don't know.
I love him.
How could you hate Boo?
I
just learned about Boo, and Boo's adorable.
I know. Like, who could hate a little face like that? Okay, I'm going to stop this now. before it gets out of control.
Well, at least I know you're not going insane, Sarah. There's a real boo out there. You were just like, boo the dog, Facebook.
You're like, Sarah, I don't know what you're doing right now. Please come back.
It's not in the rundown and it's not in the real world either. Okay. All right. Okay. So weird segue from boo, but nonetheless, when we're talking about our social media tip every week, I just came across this article on Inc.com and I thought it was really relevant. Sarah, I don't know if you're finding with your group of friends, I have more and more friends who are speaking, not necessarily professionally, but they're doing more speaking within their company. They want to do more speaking, although they're obviously nervous about it. But I found this really interesting article about turning your speaking event into almost like a social media, I want to use the word opportunity, but not in a negative way. But the idea being of how to incorporate social media into your presentation to a live audience. So there are 7 different tips. I think some of them are pretty good. One, obviously, that I think is really relevant is making your content available to support your key points. So really important, I see this more and more with people doing presentations, is make sure you reveal your sources somewhere. Even if you throw people to a blog post you set up where you talk about where you got some of that information. Also, a couple of other things as far as encouraging people to use a hashtag during your conversation. And I wanted to add one other tip that I use on a regular basis when I speak, and I just started doing this in the summertime, was I have little tweetables at the bottom of my slides. So every single slide has a tweet-worthy quote at the bottom that I've written that's 140 characters or less. Because I know that people are sitting out there and literally their heads are all down on their phones. So I may as well give them some interesting content that they can share that's come from my presentation in a simple way. So great article, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Absolutely. I mean, we've all seen, Amber, you do so much public speaking that you're a pro. That's the sort of thing that still, it's very intimidating to me, and I get scared just even thinking about it. But it's true that even if you can get over your nerves, mm-hmm. there's still such a difference between a speech or a presentation where people are kind of like, okay, yeah, whatever, and one that's not only more dynamic, but just it's sort of like it just opens the door for people to continue following if you know you've got something to say or something to sell, or you know, so that the presentation doesn't sort of end when your hour is up.
Yeah, I think it's really important just to keep that conversation going and to allow people to participate. Like I said, we know people are sitting there in most conferences with their smartphones. They want something to do. They want to be able to multitask. So it's nice to be able to fuel them with what they may need to continue that conversation and to have that conversation while you're talking. It can be a little bit disconcerting, Sarah, I will say, for some people, if you're standing up there and everybody's got their head down their phones. But I think we have to get used to it because that's kind of the future in many ways.
It's like the second screen for presentations, you know?
It is.
You know, Leah and I are always talking about, here's this new app that you're supposed to be running when you're watching the show so that you can get more information about the show that you're watching. Well, kind of works the same way in a presentation, but you figure if you're at a conference that's specific to, I don't know, there was a Health 2.0 conference that happened in San Francisco this week recently. You figure the people who are sitting there are so much more likely to be interested in what you're saying anyway. So it's that you've got a good, not exactly captive audience, but you've got a good audience that's already halfway there. So if you give them extra content and, you know, we've got that sort of short attention span, fidgety kind of culture. We've all got, you know, laptops or phones in front of us. Then at least you're helping kind of direct them so that they're not.
Yeah, you know they're going to do it, right?
Exactly.
I mean, there's no point in trying to fight it, I think, at this point. All right. So for our spotlight this week, and I think one of the reasons that I thought this would make a good spotlight is purely selfish, because I recently saw Louis C.K. do a show in Toronto, a hilarious comedian, kind of inappropriate. I didn't realize how inappropriate he was, but nonetheless, very, very funny. Also interesting for the show because he's done so much online as far as selling his own shows online and really shown that he's able to do that. One of the first comedians who's been able to go out there and sell his own content and be really successful. Although he's not super, super active across social media sites, he does engage in Twitter fairly regularly. And I thought this was kind of interesting. He has a friend who has a stand-up routine all about when she was first diagnosed with breast cancer. And I guess he thought it was one of the most amazing routines he's ever seen. And he's decided to kind of bring her into the fold as far as his entrepreneurship online and allow her to sell her routine in MP3 on his website. He sells it for $5. He gets a dollar and the comedian gets $4. And some of that goes to cancer research. Anyway, just interesting to see him and continue to make so much progress with being able to get out there as an entertainer and really figure out how to make money online without having the middleman involved in that process.
Yeah, I mean, it was really quite a success story as far as Louis goes. He didn't need the traditional promotional avenues that he thought that he might need. And I think it's great that not only is he a successful brand, and like you said, I haven't seen any of his stand-up before, but people love it, and he's very funny, that he can then, sort of say, okay, well, I'm the brand, but now my brand can also represent other people that are, you know, funny or interesting or have good causes to add to. And I mean, this is like really reasonable. I mean, $5, that's an easy one.
I just thought it was cool that he was sharing the spotlight, because I think sometimes you get people out there who are successful with any type of internet project that they've launched. You know, you don't often see them go out there and promote other people, and I think he's done a really nice job of that. So kudos to him, and that's our spotlight for the week.
Very good. Good spotlight. All right, let's get into a little bit of your viewer feedback. We got an email from Scott, who sent over a site, sync.americanexpress.com. And pretty much, you know, he didn't really explain it to us. He sort of said, what do you ladies make of this? So I'd like to know. I'm trying to figure it out. Okay, so I don't have an American Express card, but I understand that, you know, this is how you pay for stuff. So if I had an eligible American Express card, I would sync my American Express card to either Facebook, Foursquare, or Twitter. Oh, this is cool. Okay. So in Foursquare, for example, sometimes I check into, you know, a coffee shop and there'll be a Foursquare special and I click on it and it'll say, you know, if you use your American Express card, you get $5 off or something. And I always go, oh, well, it doesn't apply to me. I don't have one of those cards. But if I did, then you would automatically get, I think, if I'm understanding this right, that offer would be applied to my card without me having to redeem anything and think about it when I use the card, because Foursquare now is connected to my card. If it works that way, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I should say here, and I just saw this in the rundown, but just as a bit of a disclaimer before I talk about this, I'm actually going to New York next week to shoot some web videos for American Express.
Oh.
So I will be in some online videos coming out from them. I'll be able to reveal more soon. Just putting that out there in case I say anything and people are wondering down the road when I mention the videos. But I think they're doing a lot of neat stuff with social, and I think this makes sense. You know, you don't have to have the coupons. You don't have to. It happens instantaneously, and it's nice to see the social integration. So I hadn't heard of this particular service either, so thanks for sharing that.
Oh yeah, that's great. Yes, thank you, Scott. I love, even if you just send over something like, hey, take a look at this, we always appreciate that, especially since this had not come across my desk before, which is sort of surprising, because I spend so much time trying to figure out how the credit card companies, you know, and PayPal and Square and everybody is innovating so quickly, and how we're, you know, seem to be going to more and more of an electronic payment system. But yeah, if you've got an American Express card, this is definitely worth looking into. Again, that URL is sync.americanexpress.com. We got another email from, this is Marlon, Jamaican Z, who had emailed us, I think it was last week.
I think so. He's our top fan from Jamaica, right?
Right, exactly. Right. And was looking for some advice about having like a landing page, I think About Me was what I recommended. And he sent over a very funny Twitter account, which, Amber, I am familiar with. And I'm not sure you are, but I know that many people in our audience might not be. And this is The Clingy GF, GF standing for girlfriend. If you go to twitter.com/theclingygf, it's crazy girlfriend.
It's so funny.
It's very funny. It's very funny. Crazy Girlfriend has almost 500,000 followers, so it's not as if we're onto something that no one else knows about yet. Many people do. And it may or may not be your cup of tea, but it is obviously, this is a parody account. This is not actually a crazy girlfriend. This is, I guess, along the lines of the, another Twitter account I follow, which is Bleep Girls Say. You can guess what Bleep is standing in for, which is extremely funny and always pretty accurate. So if you want to use Twitter for, you know, a little bit of humor and injected into your day, this might be an account that you might want to follow, especially if you've ever had a extremely clingy girlfriend, or you've ever been one,
or a clingy boyfriend,
or that. Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
The genders both can be clingy. Let's make that very clear.
It's very true.
Very true. Yeah.
On that note. All right. So we talked, I think, a couple of weeks ago about doing more in terms of different social media campaigns that were put out there. We've had a few doozies over the past couple of weeks. This one's interesting. It's a little bit different. What's neat about this particular campaign, I know in one article I read, it's called The Real Bears. The idea is that it puts the spotlight on really sugary drinks, but it appears through the video as though the people who created it are poking fun and really putting Coca-Cola in the spotlight, saying that what they do is entirely wrong. In the video, the bears get really fat from the polar bears, obviously, just they get really fat from drinking all this Coca-Cola. It looks like they end up getting diabetes and they have to start taking insulin in the video, and it goes on and on and on. So what's interesting about this particular campaign, aside from the video itself, which is humorous, especially if you're familiar with the polar bears and the Coca-Cola campaign, is that the guy behind it is Alex Boguski. I'm sorry if I pronounced his name wrong, but he at one point was with Crispin Porter and Boguski, and they had Coca-Cola as a client. He has since left the agency and teamed up with the Center for Science in the Public Interest, a nonprofit group that's based in DC, to do this video again to raise awareness about sugary drinks like Coke. So a different type of campaign this week, I think it, you know, highlights something that is obviously a growing issue for many people.
It's so sad, Amber.
Yeah, it is sad.
It's really sad.
Yeah, it is sad. It's the sad spotlight.
It is so sad. I mean, because it's, you know, this is obviously, a take on, you know, this totally beloved Coca-Cola commercials. I always see them around the holidays. Yeah. And they're sharing a Coke and they go, and they're really, really cute. Oh. And it's true. You know, you drink too much Coke and you're not going to be very healthy. That's just kind of the way it goes. So you put it to the tune of, you know, really fat polar bears, and
cry, Sarah.
Well, I actually cried once today, slightly over a baseball game. So embarrassed myself enough for one day. But there's something about, I don't know, almost the fact that it's this cute sort of cartoonish bear thing that is almost more effective to me, because I understand what they're trying to get across. I mean, we all sort of go, yeah, it we know.
But I didn't mean to interrupt you, Sarah. I notice this more and more, especially because this is going to sound weird, but because I spend a lot of time in playgrounds, obviously being a mom, and I notice this more and more with young kids. I mean, I see a lot of kids who are obviously, many would be considered obese, and I just find it so absolutely sad. And you know what? The reality is, for a lot of young kids, you know, they shouldn't be drinking these sugary drinks, and perhaps some advertisers shouldn't target that group of people so much. I know a lot of people are going to debate this. They think, oh, you know, we shouldn't get involved in people should be able to drink whatever they want. But this is a huge issue. And I think it's kind of interesting to see this video out there, especially given the creator's history with Coca-Cola. So definitely a campaign to look like. And I like these campaigns. It reminds me a little bit, although this is much sadder. If you remember, Chipotle did that video about sustainable farming, about the farmer who lost all of his farms because he had sold out, but then he built them up again. And he decided to do things right instead of the factory way. That had a happy ending. This one, not so much.
No, I mean, bear lost his foot.
Yeah.
Holy crud. Not good. Not good. I mean, good. I don't drink soda, so it makes me want to just stop some other bad habits. Keep the bears happy. All right, let's move on before I lose it completely. We do love hearing from you. We love getting your feedback. Questions, comments, ideas, all of it's good. You can write us at thesocialhour@twit.tv. You can leave us a voicemail at 2626 social. We got a voicemail this week that was a, It was a joke voicemail, and I know that you wanted me to play it on the show, but I'm just not going to because I want to encourage actual real voicemails, guys. You can always record us a video, too. Just upload it somewhere, send us the link. That's a lot of fun. Haven't seen a video in a while, so maybe next week we can expect one. And before we get to Amber's Rad or Fad, which I'm very, very excited for this week, let's take a moment to thank Squarespace. That's the second sponsor of this wonderful show we do once a week called The Social Hour. New Squarespace.com is actually very, very exciting. Not only is it just easier than ever to create a really nice looking, high quality, looks awesome, impresses people, website, blog, online portfolio, whatever you really want to build that's your own space with something called Squarespace 6. If you haven't heard about Squarespace 6 before and you're familiar with Squarespace up until now, it's not only different, it's better. So beautiful design is still there. That you don't have to worry about it. You still don't have to be some sort of a CSS expert or really good coder to make a beautiful website. They would never, ever strip that out. It's still just as easy to access Squarespace either as a reader or as the publisher from a variety of places, online, via your iPad, that sort of thing. But it's also, with Squarespace 6, Squarespace has made a much better effort to make sure that if I build a website and I'm really proud of it, and it looks amazing with the computer that I've been checking it with for a while, when Amber accesses my website from some sort of a tablet with a much different form factor, you know, or maybe a smaller phone, it also looks great. So the mobile component has really been thought through in this version of Squarespace because, let's face it, we have no idea. I mean, people can access our content so many ways, and you've got to make sure that your website looks awesome no matter how people are accessing it. Beautiful templates just to get you started. 100% drag and drop functionality for all your customization tools, which is great. You know, you want something a little bit longer, a little bit narrower, this and that. You just drag and drop. By the way, if you're a coder, you don't have to feel like Squarespace is just for people who don't know what they're doing. You can do all of that. It's not mandatory. Real-time statistics help you know who's accessing your site, when, where are they coming from. You know, did you get written up on a tech blog? Is your search engine optimization working really well or not working well? All that stuff is stuff that you want to know about. And it's got great functionality if you are active on a variety of social networks. You know, if you've got an Instagram account, if you're, you know, uploading photos to, you know, other services, if you love Google Plus, if that is your place, if you're constantly checking in on Foursquare, that can all be fed in to your main site on Squarespace. And so all of a sudden, you've got this living, breathing, wow, look at Sarah, she's got all sorts of stuff going on. So you don't have to feel like one specific area needs all the attention because, you know, you're doing a lot of stuff online. That's why Squarespace 6 is so great. So here's what you do if you think, okay, sounds fine. I guess I'm interested. Now what do I do? Sign up for a free account at squarespace.com. Free account really, really does mean free. It's not going to like secretly sign you up to start paying in a month. You don't have to even give them a credit card. You just start building your website. Try it out free. If you decide to purchase a plan, use the offer code SOCIALHOUR10 and you will receive 10% off your first purchase on new accounts. That's monthly accounts, monthly plans, and annual plans because you have a choice. You've got some choices there. And then also there's free domain registration if you decide to go with an annual plan. So that might be something you're interested in if you know you're going to want a site for at least a long enough period of time. You've got some domains that you'd like to register as well. 10% off that first purchase on new accounts. Use the offer code SOCIALHOUR10. And we thank them for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour. All right, Amber, I'm so ready for Rad or Fad. I can't even stand it.
Okay, so if you were surfing online on any of the social media news sites this week, you probably saw this article, but it is worth talking about because it did get a ton of attention. This is based on a new product that was developed by some MIT students. The product is called the Like a Hug Vest. And what it does is the vest, which is this comfy-looking vest when it's deflated, it actually inflates the more likes that you get on Facebook. So it's almost like the vest is giving you a real-life hug as you get more likes on the biggest social network in the world. The video of it is absolutely hilarious. You know, you see the vest getting bigger and bigger. Some pictures of it as well that we have here. But I don't know, Sarah, is this rad or fad? Need I even guess what you're thinking?
Oh, it is so, so fad. Is it even a fad? It's like, I don't even think if this was free, I would want it. I mean, maybe it's really comfortable.
I don't think so either. It's just bizarre.
It's bizarre.
It got a lot of attention, obviously, so it has people thinking the idea of wearable clothing that is somehow connected to your social networks. But the reality is that the thought of a vest that I'm wearing just inflating based on how random people are interacting with me on Facebook just seems like something that I would never, ever, ever want in a million years. So I'd say this is a bit of a fad. Maybe they'll develop something that is a little more user-friendly, a little more comfortable as it inflates. Hilarious article from The Guardian that says, well, what would happen if, you know, someone defriends you or pokes you? What's that experience going to be like? So hopefully they never do that, Sarah.
Or maybe, if you update something and then you go on a walk and it's like your poor vest is just not hugging you ever.
Yeah.
And then you just have a bad day. You have a bad exercise session because no one's hugging you because no one liked what you updated. Now that's a little pessimistic, but it's like, no.
Bizarre.
It's bad if that.
If that, yeah. Well, it's a fad, but hopefully it never becomes a fad, right?
Right.
I mean, it's a fad in the sense that it's a fad as far as people talking about this vest, because I can't see there being any way that this would ever come to market and people would want to wear it. It's bizarre. I mean, I think we've talked about things before, like tweetable sneakers. There have been some devices that are connected that I don't want to say they make sense, but they do make a lot more sense than this. So yeah. This is a fad. Although, you know, I guess cool idea as far as the MIT students doing something different.
Yeah,
kudos for that.
It's creative. I will give them that.
And it is creative.
If you happen to have a Like a Hug social media vest and you love it, or you know somebody who does, let us know, because maybe we just need to hear from someone whose day it made brighter that it is a great idea and more than a fad.
Yes, maybe someone in a long distance relationship. Who likes that idea, right?
Yeah.
But weren't there pillows that did something similar like this? They lit up there was something that sounds familiar. I don't know if they lit up based on...
If your significant other hugged their pillow,
there was something like that. I remember that.
I don't know. So it doesn't ring a bell, but it sounds like something that someone invented at some point.
Everything's been invented at this point, Sarah.
Exactly.
There's no hope for us.
Well, Amber, we've come to the end of our hour, and it's been a fun one. Thanks to everybody who joined us. Reminder, I didn't even mention this while we were live this time, but we are shooting a day early. Amber's going to help me out and let me take the afternoon off tomorrow. But we are live normally on Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern and 1 p.m. Pacific. I always say a.m. I don't know why. I'm definitely not doing the show at 1 a.m. Pacific. That's on Fridays. We've had that time for, the better part of 6 months now. Our website is twit.tv/TSH. That's where you can find all of our past episodes. You can get caught up on any episodes you might have missed or certain stories that we talked about that you'd like to follow up on. We've got all the links to the originating articles and services and games and everything on each episode page. And we've also got the videos embedded too. Last week's video was awesome. You should watch it.
Yeah.
It was an hour and 4 minutes, for goodness sake. That's a social hour plus.
Yeah. 4 free minutes at the end. Mm-hmm. Well, it's all free, but you know what I mean.
Four extra minutes that you'll just love. All right, Amber. Well, we will see you back here next week. Not same time, same place. For the live viewers, you know what's going on.
You'll figure it out. We'll tweet it.
New show on Friday as usual. Yes, and we will tweet it too. I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Amber MacArthur. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you all soon.